Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign, but to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. I am the light within your soul, in the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And when I call to thee, and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, holy way of the Most High. Om Shabbat
Shabbat Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me tonight here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your hostess here. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shem Shai. And I just want to extend a welcome, whether you're joining us here for the first time or whether you're coming back and you've listened to previous shows of ours. I appreciate having you here tonight. And here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. And some weeks I'm discussing different aspects of how compassion fits into our life, how it affects our life, and the different areas of compassion. And some weeks I'm doing more exercises and practical implementations on the show. And then a lot of times, like tonight, I will have guests on the show so that you can learn about their work and other things that complement and work with compassion. I'm going to also be highlighting different musical artists along the way. And sometimes I will have a coaching night where is just where you can call in and ask questions and things like that. So it kind of varies here a little bit from week to week what's going on. And the key is I like to have people share what's happening in their life and work through things that they have questions about, because when you're helping, you're actually helping other people when you're sharing those questions that you have going on. And other people oftentimes are dealing with the same things that you're dealing with. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about whether you should or shouldn't share anything on the show. And I focus here on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. That's the work that I do personally. I created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you may have experienced on previous shows. You can go back and listen to those in the archives if you've missed it. I've authored two books titled Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Workbook. I also have two more books in the works, which are based on relationships, which will be coming out very soon. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour. It includes workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, and fundraising events. And I am working on putting together the 2013 tour, so you'll want to keep an eye out for that, the events that might become available to register for. You're going to find those at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And there's also an option there if you go into that link called Gifting the Tour, and that's for people that maybe are unable to attend any of the events, but you still want to support me and help me get out there to some of those events, because when I start traveling around country, and this year I plan to go into Canada, it does add up after a while. And when I'm doing the fundraising events in particular, I do 90% of what I bring in goes to the organization that I'm doing the fundraising event for. So quite a bit actually goes back out to help other people. Now, for many people that are putting themselves out there these days, we think about that, right, when we're following our passion and we're looking at, hey, I want to get a little more out into the world. I want to create some more successes for myself. It can be a really scary thing. And the fear of rejection and the patterns that we set ourselves up in our lives and the roles that we play in this process can affect the outcome of things in our lives. So if you have a question tonight, my guest tonight is Dr. Margaret Rogers Van Koops. And if you have a question for her this evening along the way, you can call in on our lines at 760-542-4345. You do need to press 1 to get into my caller queue so I'm aware that you actually have a question for us. And I'll be watching the chat area as well to see if there's any questions that come in through our chat area. So that'll be another option for you as well. I know some of you are not where you can actually call in on the phone, but you can log in and put something in through chat. And just a reminder, if you enjoy this show, Make certain that you tell your friends, your family, significant others. You know, share it with those Facebook connections or through your social media areas. Anyone that you feel inspired to share it with is great. And then they can always come back and listen to the show in the archives. That's one of the things I love about our shows here on Main Street Universe is you can go back into the archives and listen to them at any time. So if you miss any piece of the show or you think, wow, there's some great information here, my friend can really, you know, use listening to this, and that's a great option. Say you can go back, listen to it in the archives. And the same link that you use to get into the show is the same one that can be used to listen to the show in the archives. In addition to that, there's two other areas that the archives are kept on my website at JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1, that's the number 1.com, that's at the bottom of the show description, and also on my Activating Compassion Facebook page, which is facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes. And I keep all of the archive shows in both of those places. So lots of options for following up here. Now, before we get into our show tonight, most people that have listened to the show, you know I love the 72 Names of God by Yehuda Berg. And I like to start off every show by pulling some information from that book, getting a little insight for the week. And by the way, if you're wondering about any of this information, this gets posted on my page in the Main Street Universe section. So you can always go back and read it. You can read what the name of God is along the way, and you can read what the message was for the week as well. So that gets posted every week. But what I like to do is just randomly pull from the 72 Names of God here. And I love this book because, as I've said before, it's just put in everyday terms, and it's put in those terms that make it easy for us to understand and concepts that relate to our life. And I just kind of randomly go in here and find what our message will be for the week, find just a page, and it's always amazing. I love how it always fits into what's going on for a lot of people. Okay, so going into this tonight, we have eliminating negative thoughts. Okay, I think this is kind of out there a lot today, and I think this is really going to tie into some of our theme tonight as well. When obsessive thoughts, worry, anxiety, fear, pessimism, uncertainty, and negative fantasies invade us, we can take our minds back and focus on thoughts that move us forward, not backward. Now, the insight that Yehuda is providing tonight in regards to this name, eliminating negative thoughts, is thoughts do not originate from the physical matter of the brain. The brain is merely a radio that broadcasts thoughts to the rational mind. So where does the actual broadcast come from? Kabbalah teaches that there are two distinct sources, the light force and the dark force. These are like two separate broadcasting stations, and they're on the air 24 hours a day. Here's the real problem. The dark forces of ego has control over the airwaves of our mind. 24/7 at full volume, negative and egocentric thoughts dominate our consciousness. This dark force is the source of all our fears and doubts. In comparison, thoughts that come to us from the light are barely noticeable. It's only when we manage to tune out the signal transmitting from the dark force that we're able to hear the faint sounds of our own souls. Recurrent thoughts include uncertainty, constant worrying, dread, and excessive fear to the point where we become ridden with anxiety. Negative thoughts also include those terrible things that we think about other people when they aggravate us, or those harsh judgments we wish upon others when we envy them. Obsessive compulsive behavior also begins with uncontrollable negative ideas. Shutting down our negative mental processes frees the mind and automatically curbs obsessive behavior. A cold heart is an opening for an onslaught of harmful, unproductive thoughts. When our hearts become open and warm, we seal those openings once and for all. Now, the meditation that Yehuda provides for this term and this name for God, eliminating negative thoughts, and the meditation that is offered here is, you are now switching off destructive thoughts emanating from the ego. In the space that is then opened, a gentle radiance of spiritual light floods your heart and mind. Okay? So that's a great thing to just picture that and visualize that and meditate on that negative station getting flipped off, and with all that openness, letting that spiritual light flood into your heart and your mind. Okay? Now, the name for God that goes with this is Ayin Lamed Mem. Okay? It's Ayin Lamed Mem. And that is eliminating negative thoughts. So that's where our message is from Yehuda tonight. So really a great message, and that's really wonderful there. So I've got also just a little message before we get into our show with our guest tonight, and just that message being, you know, taking a look at some things here. Do you try to help others only to watch them repeat the same patterns over and over again? Do you provide suggestions only to find out they are ignored and brushed under the table? Do you try to give to others, only to be told no thanks? These are all aspects of rejection that we don't normally think about. Usually when we're looking at rejection in more common forms, like asking someone to go out, you know, like men experience this a lot, they ask somebody to go out and then they're told no. That's usually where we see a more common form of rejection. But sometimes it is asking to participate in something only to be excluded. In this process, we lose not only our compassion with others, but with ourselves. Today, more and more people are seeking out employment and employers with hundreds of applications to choose from. And rejection's pretty rampant under these conditions. There's high divorce rates. We can oftentimes leave people feeling rejected under those conditions. People follow their passion. There's a lot of people out there trying to do that today, follow their passion, only to have enthusiasm dampened by the reality that there's a great deal of hard work involved in getting there, and many no's to get to a few yeses. But does rejection have to be our downfall, or can it be a learning tool? Are some people coded to handle rejection better than others? What is our soul coding that creates rejection patterns in our lives? Now, it's interesting when we look at rejection and how does that fit with compassion, okay? And it fits with compassion because sometimes rejection can be like a form of tough love, right? I can't do that. My time is full. I may not be able to add something else into the schedule. It's not necessarily, hey, I don't want to help you sort of thing. Tough love can be like that. Sometimes we know if we say yes to a situation and we don't create a rejection there, that we're not helping the person. Sometimes it isn't related to compassion. When we have like selfish fears going on, okay, and rejection can come out of that, of that ego and those fears. We're going to be finding out a whole lot more about rejection, how it plays into soul coding when we come back, and we're going to be bringing on our guest at that time, Dr. Margaret Rogers Van Koops. She's going to be sharing her work with us in a book that she wrote called The Rejection Syndrome, as well as her concepts on soul coding. And the song that I have for you tonight during our break, it is by Claire Hedin. She was on our show at the end of December, in case you'd like to go back and listen to that. Her work can also be found at clairehedin.com, and that's C-L-A-R-E HEDIN.com. This song is called 10 Commandments, and we'll be right back.
A thing you have made, you shall not covet anything that they have. Rest content with who you are.
Welcome back, and you are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I am your hostess this evening. You were just listening to 10 Commandments by Claire Hedin, and if you'd like to find out more about her music, you can go back and listen to the show that we did with her in the archives at the end of December. And you can also check out her website at clarehedin.com. That's clarehedin.com. And I'm going to bring on my guest here tonight, Dr. Margaret Rogers Van Poops. And she's authored several books, including the rejection syndrome. She is founder of the Sumaris Psychic Education Center. She's an ordained minister through the UCC, or Universal Christ Church. She has a PhD in medical and clinical hypnotherapy and behavioral science. She is a doctor of integrated medicine. She is a graduate of Hypnosis Motivation Institute, a psychic counselor and healer, a speaker. She's hosted her own TV show, and we're going to be looking tonight at soul coding with her, as well as her work with the rejection syndrome. And her website, in case you'd like to find out more information, is www.sumariscenter.com, and that's SUMARISCENTER.com. And let me go ahead and get her mic opened up here tonight. And Margaret, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. I know you've been doing some traveling and being busy on the road, and life has been a little hectic for you lately.
Yes, thank you, Jesse. I'm very happy to be on your show. I love to talk to as many people as I can.
Well, it's definitely a pleasure to have you here. And if you do happen to have questions for Margaret, you can call in on the phone lines. You do need to press 1 to let me know that you've got an actual question in order to speak with her. But we're going to give her a little bit of time here to talk first on the air. And, Margaret, let's just start by having you share a little bit about your story, like who's Margaret and how did you get into the work that you're doing?
Oh, gosh. Well, that gives my age away immediately, because I was born in 1942 and London was being bombed every night with V2 bombs. And so by the time the war ended, I found out that I was a natural healer. In fact, my mother said she used to put me in the arms of people and they would feel their shock and fear disappear. Of course, I don't remember that. But I went on through the years to help war casualties and got honored for that when I was like 9. I won't go into the boring story. It's all in my books. And, you know, it was like I got to a point where I could hear spirits all the time. I could see them. I could have a conversation like I'm having a conversation with you. And I got to a point and I said, well, how come I can do this and nobody else can? Because back in those days, anyone psychic was supposed to be evil. So I surely knew I wasn't evil, but, you know, the world was in a sorry state after World War II ended. And later we got Vietnam and all these different things that happened. So I was kind of thrown into so much negativity all my life that I got to a point where I turned around and I said to my spirit guides, why am I being so bombarded with negativity? And that was when I wrote my first metaphysical book called The Way to Oneness, which I'll talk about later. But in there, I was given the understanding that we all come into embodiment with a coding. And that was something that was very important to me to know. And I worked on myself, of course. And I was a public figure, very well known in England, and doing lots of ministry. And I'm also an ordained minister, so I had pulpit consciousness and doing all that. And all the while that I'm kind of researching everyone else, I'm researching me. And I finally got to the point where I began to understand, not only with my psychological, you know, because I've also studied psychiatry and all these different things, I not only got to understand why people were ill, but also about how the brain worked. And over the years, I've just gone from better to better, in my opinion. and I always want to share that, what I know, with as many people as I can, because I know there are just as many people like me walking around saying, why is this happening to me? So I hope by doing my radio show and videos and, you know, all my different things I do, that people will like to get my e-books or do whatever and write to me or talk to me. I love to, you know, be a public figure. I enjoy it so much because I see their smiley faces.
And that is fun. I know that's one of the things I love when I go out on tour and I get to be there face to face with everybody and do the book signings and do the workshops, and it's just such a gift to have that face to face contact with people. And you do, you have this incredible diverse background. Now, maybe you can explain to us a little bit more about soul coding, because I'm not sure if everybody's familiar with what that is.
Well, probably most people aren't, but first of all, you know, I'm going to refer back, I'll talk about the rewrite in a while, but I want to refer back to the original book that went into East Berlin when the war came down. It was the first metaphysical book they had. And in there, that was where the coding started through me. And I wanted to talk about the archangels. I don't know how many of you know, but there's Raphael, we know that, Michael, Gabriel, Barakiel, Haniel, Faniel, and Zaphiel. And they each have, in eons of time that we can't really understand, they each have their principality, if you like, of form. And they come under the wing of a god figure. So they are the manifestors of the God's thought form, if you want to think of it like that. It's way beyond anything we can understand. But what is so interesting right now is we are now moving under the vibration with the Aquarian Age under Haniel. And Haniel is in the archetype structures, going back again to, I'm jumping a bit here, Raphael is the king, Michael is the warrior, Gabriel is the priest, Barakiel is the slave, Haniel is a sage, Faniel is the artisan, and Zaphiel is a scholar. So you can see that influence. And in a oneness sense, we all have to have those experiences just as the archetype, that's what we call it. And when we were created by the Creator, we were created under one of the banners of those angels, as it were. And, of course, they've got many faces and many diverse beings under them. And we call them cherubim and seraphim or whatever you want to call them, depending on what religion you're in, okay? And so coming back to Haniel being the sage, this is what I wrote in the book, so I'm going to actually read it. The way of the sage is to express the innate wisdom. Now that means, you know, we don't know what it is, but it's wisdom. In form, he shows mankind his good judgment and shrewd abilities in practical divine expression, and so leads the way. Now, what that means on an everyday level is we're no longer, like in the Piscean Age, saying, well, that's my piece of land, I'm going to take it, or I need four dresses instead of three. Where we're coming from now is, do I understand who made the dress and made it available for me to be able to buy it? Or do we understand that it's good to speak two languages so we can talk to one another? You know, so communications, basically, is what's going on. And so everybody on this planet right now, no matter who they are, is on about communications. And we're going to have about 2,500 years of this. And we're like 1 minute into this new vibration. And another thing that you might be interested in is we're also with the presence of Haniel and this new energy of the Aquarian Age, as we call it, we're also into the beginning of the second spiritual age. And I haven't found anyone else talking about it. The second spiritual age is understanding the divine wisdom, whereas in the first spiritual age, which of course is eons of time for us, we've been learning that we exist. But now we have to ask, why do we exist? So everybody who's coming into form now, we call it embodiment, is in some way making sure that their coding, and I'll talk about more about that in a minute, the coding that they have will develop a personality and a character that will be mostly interested in, what are people saying to me? Why are they saying it this way? How can I respond to that conversation in a way that they can understand me, that I can get some kind of ombudsman situation where I can get into harmony with someone else instead of the old Taishin way under the old spiritual, first spiritual cycle, which was, you got to listen to me. And nobody's listening, you know. So there's a whole difference here throughout the world. And, of course, right now we've got a demo of the old Piscean influence spilling over to the Aquarian age. So we've got, you know, ministers around the world who are arguing and yet trying to find a way to talk round tables. They're not doing a very good job anyway, in my opinion, but at least they've started listening, okay? So I don't know if you have a question just about that part. Yes, go on.
I think with that, it is really interesting what you're bringing up of how this is such a big communication age, because I feel like that has been one of those big, giant barriers that we've had for so long is communication.
Exactly.
We struggle with this in every area of life, and it's one of the big things I know where I'm in the process of writing these books on relationships right now, that it's got to be the number one block for relationships and the number one block to progression, the number one block to putting ourselves out there. And I say it a lot in my work. I'm multilingual even without speaking other languages because we have people from all these different belief systems and thought patterns, and we kind of have to be able to translate that. And to realize that this word and this word and this word might all be different words, but they're all saying the same thing.
Right, exactly. And, of course, when I'm teaching in other countries, I'm teaching with interpreters. And so, you know, when they say, well, we'll try and make it sound just like you're speaking. But actually, I have some students who are speaking both languages, and they'll come to me afterwards and they'll say sometimes the interpreter misinterpreted the meaning of the sentence. Because their verbs go in different places, their sentences are long, especially in Japanese. When I was in India and they were doing Hindu years ago, you know, I was like talking away and I'm thinking I'm doing a good job, and I found out that half the time they didn't understand what I was talking about because I was too advanced for them. So, yeah, you know, I had to learn in those days that communication has to be simple, and this is actually the soul structure is quite complicated. So if you'll bear with me a minute, we all have an archetype. I'm a warrior, and if I bring that down into an everyday consciousness, it means life after life, no matter who you are, which country you're born in, what religion you have, whether you're gay, straight, or upside down, it doesn't matter, you are still coded with the creation of the warrior, okay? So that's me. I'm always going to be a warrior. But I can wear the mask of the king or the priest.
So let me clarify that for a second before you move forward.
Okay.
Are you saying that every single person is coded with the warrior?
No, with their type. They could
with
be
their type, with their archetype. So whether that's warrior or healer or whatever it is, every person has a particular archetype that they're coded with.
So if you were created at the time of universal consciousness being into kings, you're a king. That's your flavor. It's like saying you're always strawberry ice cream. You know, when I was created, there were lots of warriors being created. And so we're all warriors. That's like saying we're all chocolate ice cream. See what I mean? So we're all
right.
We're ice cream, but we have different flavors. And we keep that throughout all time. We have that vibration. But we can borrow the mask of the other archetypes. So you could, for example, and I'm using me as an example, be a warrior. But I want to hide my warrior self, so I might be born with the vibration of the slave, okay? So when you see me acting out as a slave, which actually is about being in bondage or service, okay? Bondage is I'm complaining every day. Service is I'm enjoy doing and sharing. Where's the warrior? You can't see it. Unless I fight for a cause. See what I'm saying? Then you might see the warrior when I stand up and say to people, look, I'm helping you. Why don't you listen to me? Okay? So we all have something there, and I am able to channel readings. I have people read these books, and then they write to me from all over the world saying, please do my soul reading. So, okay, we have that, and we're stuck with that, and we borrow an archetype. Life after life, we can interact, and we can change and be male, female, and we can live long lives, short lives. So there's a variety of spice of life, as they say. Now, the second thing that we choose when we come into our bodies is a goal. We want to be sure that we're doing something that is fulfilling. Myself, I chose acceptance. Now, in order, if I ran around saying, everything's fine, you know, I wouldn't really have much test going on. So in my life, I had rejection thrown at me morning, noon, and night. And it's like, I'm supposed to accept these people who are telling me children are only supposed to speak when spoken to. You have to lie down at 3 o'clock on the dot for your nap or whatever it was that I was It's like, but I don't want to. And you do what you're told or you get a thrashing, you know. Thank God those days are gone. But generally, we were told you cannot be who you want to be. So for me, my goal of acceptance was really tested because I wasn't accepting it. And I was always being told, you're not accepting things, you're not accepting things. And it wasn't till I was much older, in my almost late 40s, that I started to understand that if I accepted the rejection, not only in myself of rejecting other people, but also rejecting my thoughts and the things and the way I acted, I could find another point of view. And so I began to turn the corner in my consciousness and accept that when someone yells and screams at me, I can stand back and look at them and gosh, wow, I never saw their body language that way before. I never felt their energy with psychometry that way. Or, you know, I never saw how beautiful their hair is in the sunlight. I mean, I could be seeing anything. and being able to say, it's all okay, you know. And most of us don't get any training in acceptance. I'm not mentioning any names, but there was a video out and about that was talking about acceptance. I can't tell you how many people I picked up off the floor because they watched that video. You know, you can't just walk out the door and say, I accept the world. You know, you've got to deal with your psychology. You've got to deal with the psychiatry that's going on behind your psychology. So, okay, you've got a goal. There are 7 goals. You can have acceptance, rejection, growth. I'm not going to go into them all right now. There's too many. But you can read, anyone who's interested can read the book. And it's easier for me to talk about me because I know what I am right away. So my goal of growth being acceptance has a negative and a positive side. So I can be in a bliss, agape, wow, this is wonderful. Or I can be on the other side where I'm abstracted. I'm off here. I'm off there. I'm not cohesive. And it's like, well, this is fine, I'll deal with this now. No, okay, there's all that over there, I'll deal with that tomorrow, you know. And I did see a lot of that in me. I had to focus, you know, and really take on a lot of responsibilities because back in those early days, there was no one who was supporting me or helping me. And by the way, it's very interesting that you're asking for donations. I hope someone helps you with your tour. I've never thought of asking anyone for help, so I've always had to struggle. So you're teaching me today. So anyway, once you've got your goal of growth, then that's your main spiritual energy. Then you have to have a core energy for your spirit. So now I have to jump backwards and say, everyone has a spirit inside them. And it is the spirit that works the brain. Without your spirit in your body, your brain is useless. You're dead. Okay? So it's that simple. So when you're learning, basically stimulating, your spirit is working in the brain as the brain is growing, because I want you to just think about the fact that you're a zygote, you're split into three parts once the egg is fertilized, and the first part that grows is the placenta so that the baby can start growing from the mother's blood. And then after that, the brain grows. And as the brain grows, so the brain knows the pattern for the body to grow. It's amazing. Studying the brain is amazing. So actually, when you're coming into the form, your spirit does not attach to the body for permanency until 3 months. I actually wrote a book called Pro-Life, Pro-Choice, Pro-Spirit. And that is based on my life and my experiences with my clients and my outer body and the astral experiences with my spirit guides, explaining why there shouldn't be an issue about abortion. I'm not going to go off the track here, but I want you to understand that everything in the oneness is already worked out. So if a woman is having a baby and she decides she doesn't want to end it, she wants to end it, whatever she decides, it's already set up. And I've known people who've gone into hospital to end it, and they've got off the table and walked away because they had the promise in the coding to see it through, even if they're giving the baby away. Whereas I've seen other people sworn black and blue they're going to have it, and the last minute they're in hospital, made that choice. And whatever that choice is, it's because we've already set everything up. So in the spirit world, before we come into embodiment, we're sitting with higher ascended master teachers who help us sort out the country we're going to live in. We're sorting out who our parents and grandparents are way before they're ever born. And they're all getting their codings accordingly. So the bigger your family, the more people you're going to meet up there, as it were. And there's always a union of energy before anyone is born so that you're connected. Even so, like my great-grandmother was already connected to me in the spirit world long before I was ever born. And when she was born, I was still connected to her. Do you understand?
Yes, and I think, too, a lot of times those connections from some of my experiences are we come back together with the same people. So there might have been people that were families in one life that are now our families again, maybe different roles.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not only that we've had, there's much more to it than that, actually. It's not only that we've had families. I want you to think of thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are collective consciousness in one soul group. And one soul group is basically thousands of spirits, okay? And then if you think of one soul, and changing the dialogue here a lot for people because you go to church and they say your soul must ascend. But actually, it's our spirit that ascends into the collective consciousness where we're unified with thousands of others who collectively become divine consciousness, and they're like one cell in the body of God. So mm-hmm. There are hundreds and thousands of soul, billions actually, of soul groups. So coming back to us on Earth, we've set ourselves out with our family and, you know, it's our time to live. We've got to have a character. We've got to have a personality. So we give ourselves modes. My example is I have power, perseverance, and passion. I've got the three Ps. So, well, someone is saying it can't be done, I find a way because I can persevere. And when I do persevere, I'm in love with what I'm doing. I'm impassioned by it, and I just want to do that and nothing else. And I get very upset if someone's going to come and try and distract me. And, you know, I'm not a powerful, like, dominant person, but I'm sure you can tell just by the radio show, I've got a strong personality. And it does radiate from me a lot when I'm on stage or I'm doing something like that in the public eye. But I can also be docile, quiet, and then people say to me, well, why are you so quiet? Like, I've done enough. The power bit, you know, I need to go into myself and find my soft passion. So these three things that I mentioned, I'm again not going to go into the whole thing because if people are interested, they can read the book. But everything that I'm mentioning has a positive and a negative side. So we have the choice when embodiment in our personality to go down the negative path or to go down the positive one. And if we're really sensible, to find neutral spaces where we can balance ourselves before we go on again. And then, of course, as we grow up, we're influenced by the family members, the church, the whoever, you know, whatever religion you're in, school teachers, school friends, peers. One of the things that I remember, I was thinking about it the other night, I had two very, very solid good friends in my high school years, and we were playing, we were seniors, right, and we were playing what was called quoits, and I have not found anyone in America that plays quoits, but it's basically a round rubber ring, and you throw it over a high net rather like badminton, and you score rather like table tennis. So we used to play that, and these younger kids, who were coming out like their third year and I'm like seventh year, coming up and stealing our quoit and us chasing them all over the school grounds trying to get it back, you know. And I suddenly realized and remembered, what am I doing letting these young kids control me? Now, there was an example of where I lost power. My power was in the wrong space. My power was in anger. And I was yelling at these younger kids, what do you think you're doing? You know, give it back and so on. So, you know, we have two sides to this personality that we set ourselves up. And then while we're in the mother's womb, the mother already has her coding, right? So we've already bonded with her in the spirit world. So when we come into the womb, in order to have unity and grow inside the mother, we have to entwine our coding with her coding so that we find a balance. And if we can't find that balance, the pregnancy will not continue. Okay? And there are quite a few mothers who are disappointed because somewhere around the 6 month they lose their baby or even at birth. It's because they're not meant to go any further than the distance they've already gone, and there's lessons in all of that, of course. So I wrote about that in the rejection syndrome, where a child can be adopted and all these different kinds of things. And then once the child is born, let's assume they stay with mother or grandmother, the same coding is going along through women to women, through generations to generations. And so we actually have a little piece of great-grandma and great-great-great-grandma, even if we never met them or didn't even know their name, we have some of that in our personality, and we call it throwbacks on Earth. You know, suddenly a family hasn't got any musicians for the last three generations, has a super-duper pianist or something, you know, and then some great distance relative did do that on a spinet or something. So it's very interesting how we bring our talents and skills through from generations to generations. And, you know, then we have to integrate and we get born and we're looking at mom with her coding and our own coding. And from that day on, we spend our entire life until mom actually passes back into the spirit world trying to separate ourselves from mother. Everybody, no matter how good your mum is, okay, your mum could be the angel of the century. There's a part of you saying, I don't want to be in my mum's space. I want to be in my own space, you see. So there's, you know, a quantum amount of people have wonderful parents. For me, I had wonderful parents who argued morning, noon, and night. So I won't go into my history. But, you know, it was hard growing up with parents that argued, yet gave me the right balance, you know, in many other ways. So I developed an attitude from my mother, which was rather a realist, okay? And the realist is like, this doesn't happen. You have to do it this way and that way. And but my own Cody was an idealist. I wanted the perfect thing. I didn't want to settle for it's just this way to do it. So that took me years to get around that and to get rid of the realist, because I heard the words of my mom coming out of my mouth with my kids and so on, you know. And finally get to a point where I could say, I'm going to only deal with things that feel ideal for me. And if I'm happy being ideal with those things, then people around me are going to be happy with me being happy. And so I started to get more positive people around me just when I started to go back to my own coding. So I spend a lot of time helping people to understand that they can shift within their coding and move themselves over to something that is positive and manifest their dreams as well. I have a lot of people who say, oh, I want to be this, I want to be that, but it can never happen. My mum said I can't this, and my dad said it won't be that, and my brother says this, and it goes on. And poor person is like down in the dumps, depressed, demoralized, you know, can't get on with their family, never able to achieve their goals because they've been conditioned by the attitude that has come from every person born, from every mother, that because we all come through a womb, right? Even when we had the test tube babies, people were writing to me and saying, is that baby going to have the coding of the mother? And I said, well, of course, because they have to go back into the womb. And, you know, it takes time for that baby to grow. They don't always take. But when they do, that baby has to mix their coding just the same with even, somebody's egg and somebody else's sperm and a surrogate mother, and all three have nothing to do with the egg. Do you know what I mean? They're not the original mother of the egg. But there's still coding coming through from the surrogate mother, from the spirit coming in, from the original egg that came from the mother, from the stranger father's sperm. So we've got a lot of coding going on here with these children that are coming in now. And people don't realize that, but in the overview, it's all relative to communication. Okay?
So a lot of it is this aspect of we're really trying to return to our own coding and find our own coding in things versus continuing like to follow the coding of others and our heritage. And people who are not finding their own coding in a way are they're the ones that are struggling a little more. They're the ones that are feeling a little more lost or struggling with getting their passion going in things.
Yes, you're right in that sense. But in another sense, in the overview, both are relative. We need both. We need the coding of our ancestors, mother, auntie, sister, whoever that's gone before. And we need our own coding because ultimately, in the oneness sense, we integrate. Everything is a whole. So it's like if I say to you I was living in Egypt, I don't know, I'm making this up, by the way. I was living in Egypt in 203, and you said, I regressed back and I was in Egypt in 210, then we could be talking on a conscious level and saying, hey, we were both around at the same time. We must have been friends. But the next thing that happens is we get this feeling, okay, the passion, the feeling, the emotion. I've known you before. I feel you. I sent you. And that comes from our spirit self. And there are some children born who don't feel their parents because they're in the womb, but they haven't acknowledged the mother's coding because they are in separation, and that's one of the goals. And one of the goals is to come into embodiment and be separate. And in order to go out into the world and do what they have to do, they are able to, because of that goal, to turn around and say to their mother or whoever brought them up, thank you very much. You know, I've evolved through this period in time, but now I must go and do my thing. Okay. There are others who are coded with assimilation. That means they're like, they suck up everything. They can't separate themselves because, you know, they want to learn by getting involved in everything, and they're integrating so much. And, of course, if they're swamped with negativity, they're going to get really lost. And then we have the unknown. Dealing with the unknown is scary. We have the known, which we tend to get stuck in. And then we have love, divine love. And these are actually the soul fears. And the soul has these fears because ultimately we have to surrender identity. As long as we can say I'm separate or I'm involved or I'm going on a journey to find something or I'm stuck in a rut, I've got to learn to love myself. And once I've learned to love myself, I have to surrender all of this fear and assimilate with God. And as much as we want to be on, in quotes, I always laugh at this, sorry, but the right-hand side of God. Where is everybody on the left-hand side?
Where is everybody on that left-hand side? Margaret, I have somebody that's been patiently waiting in our phone queue to ask you a question. I would like to bring them on and see what they have for you tonight, if that's okay with you.
Yes, please do.
Okay. And this is somebody calling in from 917 area code. You're live on the air. Hello? You know, I don't know if you're not next to the phone or something, but you're not coming in. We're not hearing you. You know what? We're not hearing you.
She's breaking up.
Hello?
There you are.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Did you have a question for Margaret?
Well, I think the topic is extremely interesting, and I really resonate with everything and the coding, and I do breath work myself, so I know how everything starts in the womb or prior to the womb. But my question is kind of like, for the first time in my life, I have a weird, like a lump in my breast. I don't know what it is yet. I'm going to be getting it checked. You know, I went to the acupuncture, and he couldn't really do anything. Maybe it disappeared for a couple hours, and then it came back. But I have a lot of chest things going on, like pressure in my heart, I think, started about...
Questions. I'm sorry I'm interrupting you, but I can already read you, okay? So I'm going to ask you some very simple questions because there are other people listening and this would be very helpful to them. First of all, is it your left or your right breast?
Left.
The left one? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I cut you down the middle, your left side is your feminine self, yin and yang, remember all that? Okay, so
mm-hmm.
We're going to talk in simple terms. The left side is your feminine self. The breast, from a woman's point of view, is I've got to feed a baby. So the left side breast is I've got to feed the world. So in some way, you have been sacrificing your own personal energy as a woman to give to family members, okay, and, of course, in your work, all right? So
mm-hmm.
that is why you have the issue. Now, the second issue is that if you hold the spot on your breast, is it malleable or is it solid?
No, it's like a solid round thing.
Okay. Is it? Can you tell me? Is it north, south, east, or west of your nipple?
Oh, it's to the right of my nipple. When I look down, it's to the right, so it's closer to the other nip. Yeah.
That's all right. I'm just asking you because I want to know which chakra is out of balance. So when you told me it's to the right towards your sternum, that tells me that it's related to your heart chakra. The heart chakra is where you process your feelings to do with your lower self and your higher self. So I'm going to now read you, if you don't mind, a little bit, because it'll help other people. What I perceive with you and what you've been doing throughout your life is giving in order to receive. So it's like if I do make four pies and give them to my neighbors, they might like me a bit more. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And, of course, you make the pie and you give them. They say, oh, thanks very much, and walk off. And you're left going, well, they didn't appreciate that, you see. So So what you've been learning is that you don't have to buy love. Sorry, but that's the simple way to put it. You don't need to sell yourself. You don't need to sell your life, your body, your emotions, your mind, or your spirit to gain love. And why are you learning that? Because the bottom line is you don't need other people to love you. You need to love yourself. If you are fully content, and I know a lot of people say this, but they don't explain what it means, okay? It's easy to say, well, love yourself, but they don't understand what it means. So I'm going to explain that to you. Loving yourself means that you take care of your body in terms of, like, you go for a walk. You don't have to work out 4 hours. You walk naturally. That's what the body was made to do. You can skip. You can hop. You can jump. That's what you did as a child. You can do that around your living room, okay? You can eat the right foods. You can think the right thoughts. You can learn. The brain needs to learn every day, even if it's something simple like how to crochet or, you know, how to clean a carpet using a different product you've never used before. The brain will learn something. So you need to give yourself new input every day. And, yes, you need to hug yourself and say, oh, wow, I just did that. Even if you've done it 1,000 times before, you still congratulate yourself that you've done it because no one else will. Do you understand? That's the way
yes.
you love support yourself. Now, as far as that lump is concerned, I'm feeling yeah. that you need, it's not cancerous, okay, but you do need to go and have a test, and they'll take a little serum from it, they'll do a blood test, and they'll probably give you, I'm sensing, you can go with alternative medicine. Remember, I'm not an MD, I'm a PhD, but you can go with alternative herbs that will help. Okay, so you need to find a nutritionist who will tell you the right herbs, or you can go and you can have a little nick and tuck, and they can pull it out. It feels like a cyst that has fluid in it. Okay, so go have it checked out so you get your peace of mind, because
yes.
you know it's something you need to do, because that's loving yourself too. Okay, now
yes.
let me just quickly talk about your right breast. That is the action side. That's your male side. That's your do stuff. So if you do stuff for yourself, you're going to heal your left side. Do you understand?
Yeah. I get it.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel like I'm selling myself very, very short, especially living in the United States without a green card. I feel like I'm selling myself short.
Mm.
So I am moving back to Europe, hopefully very soon, where I can take care of stuff and make my own financial independence. You know, it's horrible here. I can't deal with it.
Which
very
state?
Low.
Which
Sorry?
State? Which state are you in? Where
I'm
are
in
you?
New York.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I don't know the codes for the different phone numbers. Well, you know, I'm British American, so I know Britain very well because I'm back there on and off quite a bit, in Europe and so on. You know, they're struggling just as much over there. But the fact that you haven't got your green card is a particular problem for you. But
yeah.
I want to say to anyone listening, all over the world right now, no matter which country you're in, there are people with problems. And the bottom line is, if you think problem, you will manifest problem. If you think problem is there today to ask you, what do you know and what have you learned and what can you take from this moment and move forward with it, you'll become positive, you'll find things will change, no matter where you are. Okay? Even if someone came running in with a gun and was going to, like, threaten your life, if you're cool, calm, and you think, what's going on here? What am I learning right now about myself, my life, the value of it, how I use it,
and what is my character, what is my personality, you can, through eye contact, through body language, and through calmness of communication, create a better scenario. I'm not saying it would absolutely save your life, but mostly it will. I actually have been threatened in my life. I've been in some strange places, and I've used these techniques where I've literally looked eye to eye into a person while they were threatening me and said to them, I hear you. I see you. I feel you. Tell me what you would like me to do for you. And immediately that death threat went off the table because I was listening to them. And that's what people want. That's why communications are so important. You know, people who run around harming people, it's because they say no one's listening to them. I know you relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's my little advice for you today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
Wow, thanks.
Okay, and so and that's a great piece, Margaret, too, because, you know, it comes back to when people don't feel like they've been listened to, that really brings in that rejection factor that's there.
Oh, absolutely, and I got to admit, you know, when I grew up, I was hit a lot because that was the generation, that's what we were told, and, I obviously hit my son. I have four sons, and they were a handful, and I obviously ran around after them with a spoon, you know. Most of the time they got away. But, you know, I did a lot of crying because I didn't want to hit them. But now I'm happy to say my grandchildren, you know, those sons grew up, they're married, and they got children, and they're so marvelous. They'll say to them something like, stop that now. If you do that, you'll go on the stairs. Or you're in one and two and three, and if they do keep it up, they're on the stairs until they learn, you know, and they're just amazing. My grandchildren are amazing, you know, they pay attention, and my children listen to, you know, them and vice versa. That's how we need to bring up children today, and unfortunately, most people don't do this. They, you know, the children say, but Mom, why? And they say, stop it. Do what you're told. Go there now, you know, instead of, okay, sit there. I'm going to tell you why I'm saying no, okay, and then explain it. And then after you've explained it, if they go, but, but, you say, okay, let me hear what your but is, one but. And they'll tell you what their but is and say, okay, now, let's put this in a scenario, you know. So let's say I said to my kids, you can't have candy now because I'm dishing up dinner, okay? But why not? But why not? But why not? Okay, sit down at the table. Here's your candy. You don't dish up dinner. Where's my dinner? Well, you chose candy. You okay with candy? Candy's fine. You wanted it. You got it. It's all right. No, I didn't get my dinner. You know, next time. And next time comes around, I want candy, you know, we're dishing up dinner. Do you want a choice? Which do you want, the candy or the dinner? See what I mean? You make them work. You make them think things through. Whole big difference in the way they grow up and the way they communicate.
And the communication is so important, and I think we have so many things. For example, dyslexia is coming out huge in society, and that requires a lot more communication techniques. A lot of things that the kids are dealing with, they really need that communication, and they're smart at such a young age. They want to be talked with like an adult.
Yeah,
and
my dyslexia is still there. If I was learning dance class, teacher would say, hop, skip to the right, and I'd hop, skip to the left, and I couldn't stop myself. I boxed up. I've got one dyslexic son. I had to teach him literally. He crawled backwards. He would go to kick the ball with his right foot and end up kicking it with the left. I mean, it was just, he couldn't tell the time. He couldn't read. And he became an actor, but actually and a judo instructor for the Olympics. But he can read, and he can do generally most things that most dyslexic children can't, because I found the way to teach him. Okay, by watching the way he moved his body language, the way he associated his emotions. And I can tell you, I have proved it time and time again that dyslexia can be overcome. Okay? So one of the things I don't buy into is saying to a child, which I made the mistake of doing with mine, is you're dyslexic. And so what happened was when he was, I don't know, 30s, he was like always excuses and not doing this and not following through. I hypnotized him and I said, you're no longer dyslexic, in my roundabout way with him. And I, from that day on, he started doing all sorts of things I never dreamed he would do. I even went back to university and found a program where he could do things orally, you know. So, you know, we've got Asperger's. Now they've taken that away. Asperger's is not... It's an emotional insecurity, fear, anxiety mode where they hide in their brain, okay? They're afraid to touch because when you touch body to body, your auras are mixing and they're getting a full dose of the person who's touching them and they don't know psychologically, emotionally, mentally, physically or spiritually on which level to communicate with this person. And if the person has a negative aura, they're going to run a mile. There are all the children born today are as psychic as I was in 1942. They're born psychic. And unfortunately, most of the parents haven't a clue about being psychic because they've been told it's evil or it's weird or strange or it's ghost haunting houses or something. It's not. It's this coding that I'm talking about that is their spirit self that lives forever speaking through their lower self body, form, shape. And so, you know, they have these modes and they have these attitudes that gives them their personality and character. And then we also have this coding from our spirit self. I mean, otherwise, how are we going to tap into our higher self? So we have what we call the higher mind of the oneness, which is divine consciousness, that flows through the heart chakra and comes out as emotion in our lower self. Or we have a higher emotional center that flows through the crown chakra and comes out as intellect, wisdom. Or we have a coding of either a moving energy, which means we keep going, we keep learning. I've got that, keep persevering, always learning. I can't be satisfied with one answer. Or we have it down in the base chakra, which is our sensual sexual self, where we can kind of get stuck in a rut and a routine, but that suits us because we want to deal with the known. I like to deal with the unknown, which is the crown chakra. So it's more... The book, by the way, The Rejection Syndrome, is lots of stories. They're not my case notes. They're literally stories that I channeled from spirit. All my books are channeled, by the way. We write. So that's book, yeah.
And that's great, and I do encourage people to go in and check that out because I always find, whether it's coming through stories or actual experiences, the lessons and the message is still there, and it's important to do that. And, of course, Margaret's website, just to remind everybody again, is www.sumarisscenter.com. That's SUMARISCENTER.com. And that is at the bottom of the show description as well, where you can find that. And, Margaret, I do have a couple of more callers in the queue here that have been patiently waiting. I'd like to go ahead and bring another one on for you, if that's okay.
Please interrupt me if I talk too long, because as you can tell, I'm a talker.
Okay, so I've got somebody that's showing up as 111 area code, which may be just a phone number that's not designated. And you are live on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Grateful you took my call.
Oh, I'm happy to do it. Did you have a question tonight for Margaret?
You know, I have an interesting question for Margaret, yes. It's a kind of another medical question. Is that okay, Margaret?
Yes, it's fine. I do this all the time around the world. People write.
Well, fantastic, because I was thinking I needed to talk to someone about this today, so I'm glad I got on. My left arm, I did a to give a little feedback, I did an intuitive workshop about 9 months ago, and I came back, and it was really intense, and then I came back, and at the workshop, we did a lot of Kundalini work, and I noticed my left arm started to just deflate in energy, just deflate, and I would use, because I'm a very active person, and I can do yoga, and hold the postures for, you know, a really good long, you know, a long time. I have a lot of discipline, and all of a sudden now my arm just goes limp. It loses the energy, and then to try to raise it up again, it just, like, the stamina, and, like, there's, like, a weakness in it, and I feel like when it goes limp, there's no pain, mm-hmm. and I'm feeling like either it's, like, some type of energy lodged or some type of weird something going on, and I'm, because there's no pain, there's
hand. Can you grip things with it easily?
Yeah, I can grip my hands. Yeah, okay. I can hold things, and it's funny because about 10 years ago, I know what you're talking about, I had something where I couldn't hold, and it was like a tweak in my elbow, and so it was like something that needed to heal, and it did heal.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking over the top of you, but have you seen a chiropractor recently?
It's funny because I know I need to, because my right side of my shoulder is getting better because I've been doing lots of yoga and breathing exercises for the last 40 days. So, like, I have some huge tension on the right side that's starting to leave. So I know everything is interconnected.
Will you trust me a minute and let
Please.
Me?
Absolutely.
As I scan you, what I can see is your second, third, and fourth, but particularly your fourth cervical is out of alignment. And
my what?
Your cervical. That's the bones in your neck.
Okay.
Cervical.
So we're looking the fourth particularly is out of alignment. And then I can see your scapula, which is the bone across the top of your chest.
Yes.
Where that comes to the little dip in the middle, that's out. And then I'm looking at the way the scapula joins at the back to that little bone on the front. I'm trying not to be too technical. And so I can see that the nerve in there, do you get a tingling numb sometimes in it?
I don't.
Okay, because what it's good that you don't. I'm glad that you don't, because it means you don't have nerve damage. But I can see that the whole socket where the ligaments are and everything is not aligned properly.
Okay.
I also see that your thoracic bones, which are on a level with your bra, the back where you do it up, so that I'm talking layman terms here, that area is out of alignment. Your right hip is out of alignment. Your left foot ankle is out of alignment. So you're in a wavy line where your energies are not in alignment. And that means, so my first suggestion is you go and get a chiropractor who is gentle. They don't want somebody to be on you like some people do, nearly kill you. But make sure they do some, you know, pre-stem, muscle stem, or, you know, some...
Okay.
Or something first before they move you, and you may have to have 5 or 6 sessions. Now, I'm warning you, because your body language, your shape of your body is, your brain says, this is my position. And once he puts you back, you'll try and go back to the old position, okay, because your brain says that was my position. But at the same time, I'm saying you need to see him about 5 times, I say him because I feel it'll be a man, is that you've got to teach your brain at the same time this is a new position. So when you do your yoga, make sure you meditate and say that you're manifesting success. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You want to hear that success, because you tend to believe that you can't be successful. So you're manifesting success, and the first success is you're going to keep your 5 bodies in alignment. 5 bodies, do you know about?
You talk about the etheric body?
Physical, etheric, spirit, higher mind, and soul body.
Okay.
You can read about those in my book, Breakthrough Therapies, Crystal Acupuncture, and Terragram Therapy. You can find all my books on the website. So you'll be able to see everything there. But, you know, the the body in my diagram book, which is about crystal acupuncture and tarogram therapy, you'll see you can take some crystals and treat yourself and how to do it.
Okay.
To get your energies and your five bodies to align.
Okay.
It's got the chakras drawn on the page, and it tells you which crystals you can use. And if I assume you've got a crystal shop nearby, because you know you're in that area. And if you can't, you can get hold of me for that. But I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying I can see you know, your whole body, your alignment, and I can see the fair hair. Okay, so I can see the vibration of your purity. I can see your gold in your crown chakra, if you know what I mean.
Thank you.
And so I know you're coming from a very positive space, but you're weighed down by your history.
Okay.
So try and meditate as much as you can.
Okay.
And, you know, when you remember something you went through, like, you know, I see some trauma, I won't put it on public, but, you know, it wasn't easy. Let's put it that way. Don't go over it anymore. Just say, what did I become as a result of that? What have I learned? And I release the physical event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things people do with past lives. They bring them up and say, oh, I'm going to give you a Japanese girl here. It came to me recently. I can talk about her because she couldn't even understand English. And she said, oh, I was regressed by someone and I was abhorring in a past life, and that's why I'm suffering in this life. It's not true. We do not bring past life sufferings into this life. We come in with a clean slate. But in the coding from the spirit and the soul vibration, we can tap into stuff if we want to assimilate. But really what we're looking for is, what do we learn in that life? You know, so if I was a slave, for example, whipped every day, what was I learning? Tolerance, trust, trusting myself, patience, endurance, under stress. You know, you got to find that side of you. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, I hope that helps you.
It does. And let me just say one thing. You are absolutely accurate, because there is someone I go to. I haven't gone to this person in a while, which is a guy, to help realign my body. And I've gone to him before, which I got phenomenal results. So that's someone I know I need to go to. And that's, and what you just said is, these are exercises I do that keep the alignment, to keep the alignment so that my body doesn't forget the alignment. But you have to do the exercises, and I've done them. And then, you know, I just kind of got off track a little, and then things just kind of went awry a little bit. But thank you for that. And I mean, can I get your last name so I can look up your books?
Rogers, like Roy Rogers.
Rogers.
Like a vehicle, and coops, as in chicken coops.
So, Margaret Rogers.
Margaret Rogers Van. You got to put the hole in, because otherwise you'll pull out other, like a gardening book or something. Rogers Van Coops.
Oh, Van Coops. Okay.
I got three names in my last name. But you can do the book with the rejection syndrome, and I'll come up and you'll find my website.
Excellent.
And I've got YouTube as well.
I'm going to check you out.
From the website, you'll find everything you need.
Wow.
Margaret's got a ton of YouTubes that are absolutely wonderful to listen to.
Okay.
And again, her website, samaracenter.com. And that's got all of her books listed on there. There are quite a few on there. And it's it's Margaret Rogers Van Coops.
Okay.
But, yeah, samaracenter.com is her website.
And, Margaret, where are you based out of?
I'm in Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
Arizona. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Wow, pleasure talking to you.
Anybody can write to me. I do answer all my emails.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say to you, because I think you would be interested, I have a new book out. You'll find it on the website, Journey into an Unknown World, which was the original name the Germans gave this book. And I mentioned in the beginning, it was called originally here in America, The Way to Oneness, and now it's called, a subtitle, The Way to Oneness Revisited. I think you will really enjoy that because it talks about the planes of evolution. In the beginning was the word psychic ability or the healing modalities, the ascension, you know, it's everything in there. And I think you'd enjoy that.
Okay. Can I ask one more question if it's not too much?
I don't mind. Sure. I've got one caller waiting in the queue, so we'll try to keep it a little bit to the short side if we can.
Okay, no problem. What do you feel that my divine, I don't know, it's probably a bold question to ask someone, my mission, I have a purpose, and I know, like, I have a lot of divine gifts.
That's why I told you to read the book.
Okay.
What you'll do is you'll help young teenagers to understand more about their spirituality once you understand more about it yourself.
That makes sense.
Okay. What area are you in, caller?
I'm in California.
California? Okay.
Where, LA or
Los Angeles?
Okay. My son comes into LA, and he's asking me to come back and teach. I used to live in LA. Come back and teach. So I've put it out on LinkedIn that if anyone wants to host me, I'll come back for 10 people, a group.
Okay.
I need a group because we have to have interaction, you know.
Right.
We can't stare at one another. So you might want to think about that.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to Google you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
I'm going to listen.
Thank you for calling in.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. And we're going to move on to the next caller here, Margaret. And then I know that you had an exercise that you wanted to do tonight with people.
Mm.
And I think we have just enough time to handle those two things maybe. We've got about 18 minutes here to work with, 18 and a half minutes total for you. So I know it just flies. The time just flies. Okay, and I've got somebody calling in tonight from 845 area code. You are live on the air.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for taking my call.
Hello.
Oh, you're very
well. I have a metaphysical question. My name is Mariah Starr, Dr. Mariah Starr. I host the Wisdom Hour on Blog Talk Radio. And
awesome.
Basically, Jesse contacted me a couple weeks ago, and this is my first time listening to the show, and I love it. And I'm sort of a hybrid. I'm a former hippie flower child turned academic. So I was in the hippie environment in Tucson, Arizona for 16 years. Then I became an academic for 20 years. And I'm about to move into another phase of my life, and I have no idea what that phase actually is, because right now I'm a stay-at-home dad, a part-time teacher, blogger, radio host, and I do so many things, but I'm really facing the question, okay, so what am I supposed to be doing for the next 20 years or so? So I've already done so many things, and my big question is one of identity. Who am I exactly? What am I supposed to be doing on this planet?
So you're asking me to give you a little mini reading, is that it?
If you are able to, sure. I'm wondering if you're able to do that.
Oh, I can read anyone across the planet. And I don't mean that egotistically. I just tap into your spirit guides and off we go. Well, first of all, what I want to say is that you have found your niche. And if you start and think about from when you were about 16, and you look through the incidents that have happened in your life, there is a constant, and what that constant is you must pass on what you've experienced to someone else. So it's impossible for you to keep secrets, okay? You might keep quiet for a while, but it'll mill around in your head till eventually you find a way to spit it out. Okay, now that is the teacher, whether you like it or not. And I was talking earlier about Haniel and the vibration of the sage. And you were originally cast in the oneness by the angels, if you want to think of it that, as a sage. So it's very important to you to gather information and to spread that information further. So what are you going to do next? You're going to start writing. you're going to start structuring courses and classes that are relative to the way you've experienced your life. And when you do that, you'll start off with a small hardcore group that will support you. And basically, while you're doing it, you're going to find out you know much more than you realize you know. And as you grow with that, you'll begin to understand that you've got a lot to share. And again, because of the younger generations, you're going to go with that. How's that? Does that suit you?
Wonderful. That's perfect. And I have a quick follow-up question based on that. You were talking earlier about we're in the age of communication. And I completely agree, just looking at the explosion of analog communication and electronic communication or digital communication in the past 100 years. What I find to be interesting is that we're facing the same problem of understanding, not so much of communication. Because even if you have a conversation with someone like on this radio show, helping them to understand is a bigger challenge than actually talking to them or engaging in the act of communication. So,
exactly.
I mean, yes, I could write these books and host the show, but is your best advice for understanding?
I'm cutting you off because we haven't got a lot of time. And what I want to say to you is think about this, okay, because this is what's going to help you. The first thing that happens when you come through the birth canal is the brain switches on your five physical senses so that as you literally pop out, you are being fully aware of your space. So the presence, the energy of everyone that you meet. So psychometry is the first thing we use. We feel the energy coming from people. The second thing we do once we can nod our head around and open our eyes and look around is watch. Okay? And so the way to reach people is to feel them, watch them, and then when you see what they present and show to you, to give them whatever it is you're trying to teach them in pictorial images where they can relate. And what did Jesus do? He told parables, okay? Stories. Tell them stories. Tell them events. Tell them experiences you had. Write it in your books. Tell it in the class. Whatever you're doing, and be human. Make mistakes. They love to hear it. Oh, I went through this, and I was silly that, and so on. But, hey, I learned this, and I learned that. That's how you're going to work.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I'm already doing that anyway, so you just tell me do more of what I'm already doing and just do bigger and better.
Exactly, but you're going to do it with more of a dedication, a purpose, whereas before you were kind of doing it by surviving life. But now you're going to do it with, this is what I really want to do. And, of course, you've got to realize your spirit guides are going to be in your head helping you. So together you'll do some good work.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for the advice, and that really helps.
Okay, great. I'm glad I could help.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in. Margaret, I'd love to get to the exercise that you have, and then if we do have additional time after that by chance, our lines are just lighting up. I have callers in the queue and everything else. So let's move to that exercise, and I just want to remind people a lot of the information that may answer your questions are in Margaret's books, like finding out your archetypes and finding out some of your character personalities and things like that are in her books or on YouTube, so those are options as well. And if you missed any part of the show, you can go back and listen to the show in the archives also. Okay. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Margaret, for leading us through the exercise that you wanted to do. We've got about roughly around 11 minutes to work with.
It's not even going to take that long because the brain processes faster than the speed of light. So we're going to work with everybody's brain. So all I want everybody to do is sit somewhere comfortable, back supported, and fiddle a bit, you know, fidget a bit so you feel comfortable in the chair, and then take a deep breath all the way in and all the way out. And then I want you to open your eyes, because I know everybody naturally closes their eyes, but I want you to open your eyes and look at a spot across the room. and say out loud, I can manifest my dreams. Now close your eyes and say the same inside your head. I can manifest my dreams. Now take a deep breath all the way in and out. And let's simplify your dreams. Today we just want one dream. Pick one dream. And as you think about that dream, I want you to build it into a picture. Whatever your dream is, see yourself doing it. And take another deep breath all the way in and all the way out. Very good. Now, be aware of your brain. I want you to take a deep breath and think about the fact that your left and right brain is processing right now that image. And then turn your eyes up into your head. And say as though you're speaking to your brain, this dream is a reality. I will manifest this dream as soon as I need it, right now. And take another deep breath all the way in and out, and allow your eyes to just relax. And say to yourself, my dream is manifested. That's it. Now, open your eyes. Look at the point across the room and say out loud, I will be doing whatever it is you want to do tomorrow. And breathe in and out again. That's it. And then say to yourself, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm wide awake. And that's it. Now you'll manifest your dream tomorrow.
Wonderful.
And
I love it. It's short, it's simple, it's quick, it's easy to use. And if anybody's tuning in or they're missing any part of this, make sure you share this with other people out there, because this is an amazing focus, quick, boom, it's done, and you're there.
Right. Now,
so,
else on my Web Talk Radio page, I've just put up a link to a longer one. It's about 20 minutes, and if people go to my page and put in their email, because I don't want any, you know, all this rubbish mail coming at me, so I'll ask people to put in their email, and then they'll get an email back saying to download this other manifestation. Hypnosis meditation. So it's even deeper, and that'll even help them even more.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that website is sumariscenter.com. It's at the bottom of the show description if you want to know what that's like. Margaret, I think that we've got time. We can probably get in at least one more caller on our lines. And we're going to go ahead and bring on Marcos. Is on the line. Open his mic up. Marcos, your mic is opened up.
Oh, good evening. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Great, great. I wanted you to take more callers, you nigger. Suck my balls, you fucking bitch.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's
wait a minute.
Not what we're going to have on the air tonight. So
that's not what we But recognize that is typical of the kind of rejection that could come at us, and you did exactly the right thing. Goodbye. Thank you for calling. Bye. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah, because it seems like there's a lot there. And, yeah, I see a couple of different things here coming into the air. Margaret, I want to give you a chance here to just kind of – you might have some upcoming things. Is there anything that you want to make sure that you get covered here tonight? Anything
well,
that
you want, that you have coming up event-wise, or ways that people can contact you, or...
Yeah, there is one thing I want to say. I am working, I've written it, but I'm working on getting it out soon. I've got a new book that will come out, which is on Einstein's theory, and I think I'm going to call it Quantum Entanglement, The Paranormal Point of View. And I want people to watch out for it because it explains how we're all joined together. No matter, you know, you could be walking down the street and you get a sudden pain in your shoulder and you don't know why and it disappears as fast as it's come, and you might just have felt someone getting shot in Africa, okay, because you're connected to them. So it's very, very interesting. I've got several people reading it right now and they're all coming back with reviews that is amazing. So I just wanted to put it out there that with the communications that I've been talking about and with the soul structure that I've been talking about, quantum entanglement is a part of it. And a lot of people don't know what quantum entanglement is, so I just explain. Einstein said if you split a photon of light and you've got two balls of light, in other words, imagine that, and I interfere with one ball of light, the other one will feel it. And, well, one ball of light will go clockwise, the other one will go anti-clockwise, okay? And it's much more than that, but that's a simple point of view that he came up with in the 1930s. And from there, he went into time. So all of this is explained in a paranormal way, in an everyday way that people can understand. And I'm pretty proud of it, and I'm hoping that a lot of people will buy that book too.
And tell the name of that book again.
Well, I haven't absolutely decided on it, but I think it'll be Quantum Entanglement, The Paranormal Point of View.
Okay. And I have somebody in chat too, Margaret, that's asking, what is the book 50 Meditations about?
Oh, now that is an amazing book. I was actually honored because in India, the country of meditations is still selling like hotcakes. For 25 years. The bottom line is it's scripts of any kind of meditation you want to do. I wrote it in such a way that all you have to do is read it out loud onto your recorder of some type and do it slowly as though you were guiding someone else. And then when you've made it, you lay down and listen to your own voice taking you into that meditation. It's way more powerful than letting someone else tell you what to do because you're following your own voice and your own commands that you're used to. So they all work. I've done them all myself. So it's
okay.
If that answers the question, I hope that's enough. Okay. But those books, some of those meditations are also in my book, Journey into an Unknown World, The Way to One is Revisited, which is where I put 21 of them originally. So these spiritually powerful meditations has those in more detail, more scripts, and 27 or whatever it is more as well that were not in that book.
Wonderful. And I know that we've got a few callers still left in our queue, but there's not going to be enough time to take people tonight.
Sorry, could I just say to them, thank you for calling, and if you really have something you want to talk to me, when you go to the website, you'll actually see my email address, and you can write to me, and I will answer you.
And that is the way to get hold of Margaret. That is the way to go ahead and communicate with her. If you did not get your call taken tonight and you really did want to have a question for her or check with her on something and let her know that you heard about her on the show. Again, her website, again, is sumariscenter.com. That's sumariscenter.com. And I know that there's people that really wanted to speak with you tonight, but we just simply don't have enough time to get everybody in tonight with everything that we do. And I want to thank you very much, Margaret, being here, for being on the air, for sharing your work with us, because I think you're doing so many wonderful things, and this aspect of soul coding and this aspect of dealing with like the rejection syndrome and the other books that you've put out and all of the great YouTube videos that you put out is really been a gift and really been a blessing.
Thank you for having me on your show. I really love chatting like this. It's wonderful. Thank you.
And yeah, definitely. We appreciate it. And I realize that people are saying we have 10 minutes left and everything like that, but there are some things that I have to get in. And again, Margaret has made herself available to you. You can contact her. You can email her. Just go on to her website, and she'll be more than happy to communicate with you from that area. So that is definitely it. And again, Margaret, thank you so very, very much for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And as we start to wind down here tonight, I do have a couple of things to mention before we start to close the show out tonight. Next week, I will have Thomas Christian Wolfe on my show. He is the creator of the Messengers event, and this is a huge, amazing event that's going on. It is an epic-level traveling multimedia art and film project. His work is founded on an artistic presentation of angels. It's going to be amazing to talk with him about this project, and it's going to be absolutely amazing to work with him and to let him know that you know, there's so much going on, and to listen to what he has to say and what he's doing with his project. Also, again, I'm working on putting together the 2013 Compassion Tour. If you'd like to find out more about the work I'm doing with Compassion, you can connect with me on Facebook. All of my contact information is there at the bottom of the show description. You can also go to my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1, that's the number 1.com. And also you can read up on my blogs at getyourblissontumblr.com. And you can also as well follow that Compassion Tour and the things that will be coming up on that as well, as I mentioned earlier on the show too. So those are all different things. I also just want to remind you, if you've enjoyed listening to the show, feel free to share it with people on Facebook and other places. Feel free to share the show with others so that they can come in and get this great exercise that Margaret went through, listen to what other people came on the show with tonight. And also, as a listener, either live or on the archives of Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I am offering 75% off of one-hour coaching sessions during the month of March. You can send me an email at jessie@jessieannnicholsgeorge1, again, the number 1.com, to get information on that. And you can stay up on specials, show archives, YouTube tips, and my blog and everything through my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1. That's the number 1.com. Don't forget, we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. And our week starts off on Sunday nights with Darren Bouquet. He does spiritual insights for those of you that enjoy getting readings. He is on the air, very, very good. He works there in New Orleans at some of the top places there. On Monday nights, we have Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journeys. On Tuesdays, Mary Phelan is on the air with Inner Wisdom, and she does a variety of things from readings on through also bringing guests on the show. Kevin has also had some guests on the show on his Monday night show, as well as working with his own Oracle, the Horizon Oracle Journeys. And then on Wednesday is our flagship show. We do have some interesting shows coming up. We're going to be talking about some different topics and things. We have some shows coming up about natural hair remedies and things like that that will be coming up on Wednesday on the flagship show, as well as the mystical and magical properties of hair and the importance that that's played throughout society. That's going to be coming up in upcoming weeks. And then, of course, my show right here on Friday nights, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And you can always tune in here. I have several guests that are coming on the show throughout the next few months, absolutely wonderful people that are going to be there. And I just want to say, this is Jesse Ann Nichols George. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into activating compassion. Don't forget that if you've enjoyed the show this evening, share it with others. It's going to be available at the same link in the archives. And I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Over and Over. It's by Shem Shai. And I look forward to seeing you back here next week, right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing week.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with season of change inside. And we are in tune with the tune, caught in a balance of sun and moon. Time is still turning, the love is still burning.
deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for. Over and over, life is your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we'll repeat it. Once you are another, always discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning, deep in your spirit.